95% of women orgasm when masturbating. Yep. In first-time hookups with other women, they orgasm 64% of the time. Mm-hmm. In first-time hookups with men, they orgasm 7% of the time. 7%. And then she goes on, this tells us that the problem isn't women's ability to orgasm. Mm-hmm. It's our cultural scripts for heterosexual sex.
Yes. Hello.
Hello, Maria.
You know what I've never asked you, actually?
What?
And I think I interchangeably call you Jess and Jessica.
Yeah.
Do you prefer one or the other?
No. You know, actually, Jess, it's weird. People just naturally call me Jess.
Yeah.
And I never asked to be called Jess, so I must be Jess.
I know. Well, your Instagram name has Jess in it. And then, like, I was just texting my boyfriend. I was like, oh, Jess is over, like, BRB or whatever. And then I, like, was calling you Jessica earlier. So I, like, don't even know. I'm just like, oh, we'll figure it out. We're just going all of them.
Jess is what it just naturally becomes. Unless you're mad at me. Jessica.
Yeah.
But you better enunciate. Don't leave the I out of my, like, don't call me Jessica.
Jessica.
That works too. Change the, you know, just have the I there.
We love it. So for those that don't remember, Jess was in, I don't know how many episodes ago, but we talked about a whole slew of things involving women in the workplace, women's rights, and all that good stuff.
Hashtag feminism.
My queen. And also the fact that I had just found out you were vegan and I've been following you for like 500 years. So
I know. The memes. You gotta read you watch my stories, girl.
I know. And I don't know like why I just like continually like forget about them. Like, oh, vegetables, forget it. But anyways, so the most recent thing that we've been talking about, and we've been talking about this a lot, I feel like we just keep slipping into each other's DMs, is the orgasm gap.
The gap.
That was sexy. Okay, bitch. So the orgasm gap. Actually, so I'm just going to go into it. Mm-hmm. So the orgasm, for some of you that may not know, but I'm hoping that most people that listen
hopefully
to this.
Hopefully people know what the orgasm is.
Right? So in terms of just dictionary, right? Just a peak of sexual excitement. So in both for men and women. Now, there's a lot of things concerning the orgasm. So I figure we'll just kind of dive in. Like, I have a bunch of like random stats that we can like kind of spew off that I think some people might not know. And then we can hop into the orgasm gap. But is there anything that you want to just like pop into, or you want me just to open the floor?
No, maybe open the floor. I mean, that just like, I think the DM conversation was like, I thought that was so interesting. It's like the pay gap, the wage gap. No. The orgasm gap. And whatever that statistic was, I'm sure you have it. I was looking, but like 95% of men orgasm in first time sexual encounters, and like some horrendous, sad percent of women do that was much, much lower.
Yeah.
But in same sex encounters, it was much higher. It was like 66% or something. So yes. I just found that so interesting.
And there's like a lot of things when it comes to that. So I guess like what I found was interesting. So I was doing a ton of research today, and I guess it wasn't until like the 1970s that actually a lot of doctors claimed that women didn't experience an orgasm.
Yeah.
Like they thought it was totally normal. And I didn't recognize that it was literally that recent that something like that would like come into play. And I guess that makes a little bit more sense now why like our kind of like older generation, like when it came to kind of like sexual education, that piece wasn't really there. It was never really catered to women. And like it makes a little bit more sense now that I mean again, gauging by like history books, and if your doctor's telling you, oh yeah, it's totally normal, then of course. And a lot of
it always goes to the patriarchy. Sorry, continue.
Oh, the patriarchy. But what I thought was like super interesting was that, let me see. So I guess there was a YouGov study that was done that said that apparently only 59% of women and 59% of men and 45% of women actually couldn't label a vagina. And I think...
Or a vulva or a vagina? The clitoris.
Just vagina.
The vagina. Just the general region. Because like I read a stat on the clitoris or clitoris. Pick your poison. Wow. That one's astounding. Where is it? Is it the armpit? Like...
Right. And exactly. And so that's what's, you know, that's what's like fascinating to me is that I think like when it comes down to these studies, I think a big reason why most women aren't orgasm is because a lot of people just don't know the anatomy, right? Like, think about how many men and even like young women or whatever don't really know what the clitoris is. And so I say a big piece of this, right, is, so say you go in, even for example, you talk about like a clit piercing.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to take it down to that. So, right. So there are so many pieces of the like vagina that you can actually get like pierced. You can either get like a top, you know, like topical that's outside of the lips. Like you can get your hood pierced. You can get your clitoris pierced. There's so many things. But like when you tell people like in general, like, oh, I'm getting my vagina pierced, people initially go to, oh, it's the clit. So, but that like generalized kind of statement goes down to even like just any kind of like sexual reference as well. So, I mean, I just used a piercing as like a, just, you know, like personal reference or whatever, a reference point. But so for those that don't know, what's interesting is, so I actually didn't, I mean, I knew that there were like obviously like multiple orgasms, right? But I'm going in it and like just reading like the actual like medical like terminology and like terms.
Yeah.
So there are actually so many different, like, I guess, not like, I guess like ways that people are orgasming, right?
Uh-huh.
And what people don't realize is that there's clitoral, there's vaginal, anal combo, and erogenous zones.
Yes.
So
apparently you can have an orgasm from the nipples, I learned when I was reading about this.
Yes. And the elbows and the knees.
And the elbows and the knees.
Yes. So that was a big one. Everything else seems pretty standard. But I actually was a little surprised. So like I'm all for like anal play, but it's usually paired with like any type of
a control toy or something. Stimulation.
No, control stimulation. Mm-hmm. So for me, my understanding of actually like coming when it came to like anal play was because my clit was played with.
Exactly.
But that's because, like, I mean, there's such a huge number of women that are coming primarily from like clitoral stimulation. And so I was like, okay, like, so for me, it was like more combo oriented. But I guess you can actually, even like for women, right? The feeling is like basically there's like an intense need to pee, and then you get a contraction around your anal sphincter. So that's like you can actually come anally, which I didn't know. I hate to say that I didn't know that. I always thought it was like primarily because of the clit. But yes, go. What were you gonna say?
I don't know if I should. Okay, so that's where I was like researching some of this too. Mm-hmm. And I found that apparently, so I was doing this thing on the G spot, and this one doctor found it by just, you know, like the come here motion, come hither motion on herself. But it's not an actual spot, and it varies from woman to woman. And what they're kind of finding now is that it's actually an extension like of the clit. So it's actually like deeper than you know. So that's even what's actually being stimulated vaginally. It's still portions of that. So it is, it may still be combined. And there's apparently this whole medical debate on like, are there two separate types of orgasms, clitoral and vaginal, or is it all inextricably kind of linked in some way? I would say that there are two separate. And I'm in like weird camp B, because so many of my girlfriends, it's not uncommon, I'm sure you know this too, to like, oh, I've never had an orgasm, or I never orgasm during sex, or I only orgasm during oral sex. And that's kind of the sort of known thing. For me, vaginal like sex is much more penetration, but with the stimulation is I can have orgasms that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I've probably had, from oral sex, I enjoy it very much, but actual orgasm from that exclusively, maybe five.
Okay, like five
times. Yeah,
or five times in general.
And for my entire sexual lifespan, lost my virginity at 15.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
So for me, it's I'm never able to come just from vaginal penetration. Like I always have to have my clit played with. I probably will come equally from any type of oral sex as well.
Yeah.
But the fastest way to make me come is literally through additive, like anal play.
Like, yeah.
Brad, I'm going to call you out. I'm sorry. I love you. He figured that one out like real fucking quick. The second that their finger went up there, I was like, boom, done. It is like just literally like magic.
This is so funny. This is where, and I prepped Maria on this a little bit now because I'm dating somebody. So now normally I would be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. But I'm a little bit shy. But that's good. I'm going to say it anyway.
We love you no less.
And I just F-bombed. But that's okay.
You can
go. I was just going to say, I can do that. No. I did it way too much the last time.
We're literally talking about clits and fucking.
Anal. But I think that was like one of the, actually, I remember the first time I orgasmed and it was, I like on top, I can do my thing, but that was a little bit of anal play. And I was like, oh, okay, next level. Holy crap.
But were they playing with your clit too? Or no?
Oh, I can't remember.
Okay.
I just remember this. I think there was definitely some of that sensation.
Okay.
Whether it was like with a little toy or something, I don't know.
Fair.
Yeah. Okay. Dude's not allowed to listen to this until like 6 months. If it's still happening, I'll play this for him.
That's fine.
There we go. That's fine.
No, that's great. That's very safe. Very great. I mean, he's going to figure it out if he hasn't already.
If he hasn't already. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. I actually didn't ask you that before, but we can talk offline. It's fine. You don't have to call him out.
I'll finish this glass of wine and I'll tell you everything.
You know what I found out that was really interesting that I didn't think was real? Fantasy orgasms. So those, just mental simulations, some people can actually come.
I could do that.
Really?
I feel like not even
touching yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Well, you have to like do some gyrating and some moving. I can totally do that.
Oh my God, I am shook. Okay, so like...
You sit on, like, well, that's like some stimulations. Sit on a dryer.
Is that...
Oh. Or a washing machine. Oh. But I mean, I would have orgasms in my sleep often. In my dreams. And I would wake up and I would think, holy shit, was I just doing what I was doing in my dream? Like, full on, like, like moving. I must have looked crazy, but then I have no idea. But I woke up and I, like, full on, full body. I'm very orgasmic.
That's like really interesting. So I know that like men can have, and I feel so uneducated on that piece, but I know, yeah, men can have wet dreams, but I didn't realize that it was also happening to women.
You never have? I don't know if that's just a me thing. I just realized, I don't think I've ever like talked about it with any of my girlfriends or anything.
No, I'm kind of interested. So like, if you don't mind talking about it, I kind of want to like, do you like remember your dream? Do you wake up mid orgasm or like, what is that?
Yeah. I wake up like right at the sort of end point of the orgasm where like, it's like the most ecstatic point in like the sleep phase, and then I wake up and I'm like, was I just screaming? Because like, oh yeah, yeah. And like my body is, and I'm, you know, you're like right at that point where maybe you're just like, ooh, you could even have a little bit more maybe, but you're just like,
yeah,
but now I'm awake.
That like climax point.
Yeah.
Have you ever had one like with a partner that was like in bed where they could like basically reiterate the experience, or do you just like remember and that was like your peak that you woke up to?
Yeah, no, I think I've had one in bed with a partner, but not like they were, that's when I'm like, oh, maybe this is all in my head and I'm not really moving around as much as I think.
Yeah.
So
fascinating.
I know. Yeah.
Wow. You might be, unless all my girlfriends are lying to me, you might be the only gal that I actually, like, that I personally know. I'm not saying the only gal out there.
Yeah.
That, well, at least that's open about her.
I don't know why. Well, okay. That's another thing we should talk about, too, is, like, girls feeling weird about their bodies and not knowing how to get themselves off. But I would be very curious to even open it up to my girlfriends or anybody listening, if any other women have that experience.
Yes.
I have... Not frequently, but intermittently, consistently.
Yeah. Please DM me if you feel comfortable. I'm just kind of like curious. I would love to do like a follow up, maybe like post or something just to see like, I mean,
fantasy
like,
orgasms. Yeah. Dream orgasms. Yeah.
To get like, I don't know, get like a little playbook of people's experiences. That would be really, really cool. I'm going to have to actually like look into this after we get offline.
Me too. Now
I'm curious to see like what studies have been done and if there have been like any reports or like, I wonder if there's anything that has to do like psychologically with that, right? Like, do you have to be like in a certain mental state, which I assume so, because you look at, I mean, you look at erectile dysfunction, right? You look at any type of like orgasm disorders, and all those are linked to like anxiety, depression, and
sometimes they're linked to cardiovascular shit too.
Yes, though. I was gonna say heart issues too. Yeah,
not any of the vegan guys, but It's true.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Which can also be like another conversation, but I wonder how much of that has to do with like any type of like psychological backing, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure because you think about like. Okay, well, like, let's talk about, like, orgasms in general. Like, when a female and even a man, or...
or a man.
Yeah, or any, I guess, like, any individual, right, is trying to have an orgasm. I guess, like, if you're not in the right state of mind, you're basically not going to be able to have an orgasm. Like, I know there's so many times that I either, like, am just not in the mood, or, like, I'm having sex, and I just, like, I'm like, this is just not going to happen for me. Like, even though you get, like, a little bit wet, but it just, I mean... It's
you can
just not
tell.
There.
You can always tell if you're not.
Yeah.
I always thought, by the way, and this is part of the, I think, heterosexual script towards sex and orgasm.
Yeah.
that we're taught, I always thought that was like a girl problem or a girl thing. And I do think, just from talking to guy friends and girlfriends, more women struggle with it, like being in the right headspace.
Yeah.
But I think men who are in touch with that too, they do struggle. But I thought it was like an exclusively a girl problem.
No, I've actually got to be in the mood. I've come across two points in my life when a male hasn't been able to come because he just like mentally was like either like stressed at work or whatever. And I, for like a long time, I too thought that it was just like a female problem. And it was like the first time it happened to me, I think.
You take it on yourself.
I was so offended. Not like offended, but I was like, it's me.
Insecure. And what did I don't turn you on enough. Oh my God. Like, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I'm like,
because that's what we're taught. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And like, I mean, my boyfriend now, he's like just so awesome in the sense where he's just so like, I mean, his pleasure point too is to like get me off. So he's just naturally always like, no, like even if I know I'm not in a mental state, like after we have sex, like I just know I'm not going to come. I'm like, it's okay. It's not a big deal. He's like, no, like it's going to happen. Like basically he like genuinely wants me to like come, and I think he like takes it upon himself. Like, I just like want you to feel good basically. But
how do you know. Does that work for you?
Yeah, actually. Okay. And I think it's just like so sexy when somebody like puts your sexual pleasure, I think first. Or I really love like when a man can just like, he knows he's about to come, but he'll stop because he knows he's like almost there, but he wants you to like feel good. And he wants to continue to have sex with you. So he'll like go down on you.
I go back and forth with that.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, like, yes, that's, but I think, and I don't know if this is just something that I continue to struggle with like, what we talked about a little bit before, as far as that performative sort of thing. Like,
yeah, let's get into it.
First starting to have sex, and like I didn't have an orgasm until I was in my, maybe I think 26. I was 25 or 26. And I, again, lost my virginity at 15. Not like I was like ragging them in, but I had been in a relationship where I was having consistent intercourse.
And you're saying, but that first orgasm, that wasn't including masturbation, or that was including masturbation too? Or were you not masturbating?
Like, no. Okay,
she's sorry. Like, bitch, let me tell you.
What I let me clarify. Let's back it up. My very first orgasm, I can make myself come. Like, I started masturbating, I feel like, at an embarrassingly young age, where it's like, is this normal? Is this healthy? Now that I've studied child development, it is. It's healthy and fine. Yeah. But I did. I started, I think, God, what was I? Maybe like end of sixth grade, summer into like seventh grade.
Okay.
And experimenting with like penetration and just clitoral stimulation and all that. And I'm like orgasming. Like, this is so embarrassing to say, no. But I popped my own cherry.
Okay. So, okay. Well, there's a few things to this, because your cherry can get popped like even outside of like any type of like sexual experience.
I just realized, to conclude the story, I'll have to do it like off camera, air quote, but
I am loving this. I like don't even remember popping my cherry, to be honest. And I think it was because I played sports my entire life, so I think that mine was probably basketball related. I don't know how, but I think that
it's like you were just about to say, I think it happens so easily, we don't even it's not like this big like, oh god,
yeah
gushing blood, yes, trauma. No.
Okay, so I'm so sorry. Go back to your story of so first time you haven't had an orgasm until you're mid-20s.
So with a sexual partner.
Yes.
And I just kind of thought that, you know, okay, maybe that's normal, or but part of it is I was very shy, and I was also very, very concerned with like, I want to do it right. I want to look right. Are they having a good time? How do I look to them? What do they think? How are they feeling? Is this correct? But that's like a personal problem in general. Like, I don't like to not know what I'm doing, and I don't want to look stupid.
But that happens to more people than not. There's so many, and it just happens a lot more to women, because I've like asked a couple men actually about this and how they, if they think that they look one way or another, and the typical response has been no. Now, again, this is not like a medical study I've done. This is just like a small survey around a couple friends of mine. So.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a big, so my second part that I'll come around to with this is that also I very much get off, and I can relax when I know that my partner is just very, very into whatever they're into. Yeah. Whether, you know what I mean? They're like in the zone and they're getting off and they're happy. That turns me on even more.
Yeah.
But then, so that's what I'm circling towards. But also I do get caught up too much into like, how am I being received, and what, you know, is it right? And I think, like, okay, I'm going to call her out. Like, Maria doesn't know how to drink LaCroix, and it's now everywhere, and the podcast is ruined.
I just, like, literally missed my time. Well, I have a big lemon in there, and the lemon, like, just slapped me in the face.
Oh, that's very sexy. Does that like feel, that? Was that your erogenous zone?
That's, you know, that's me, like, getting really hot for you.
But, like, so what you were saying with, sometimes that'll make me feel more on the spot where it's like, yeah. No, I want you to, but I don't know, maybe with the right person. And if it feels like I'm going to get you off, it's going to happen. She's still cleaning her chin, by the way.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
But so actually, I don't know, maybe I'm not, but do you see what I'm saying? To where like, if I feel like, oh, I'm just really not in the mood, I don't know. And then my partner was like, okay, we're going to make this happen for you. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I might feel like performance pressure.
Okay.
Which I think is why I can't enjoy like oral sex, because it feels good to me. Yeah. I enjoy it. It's not that I'm like insecure, like, oh, what's going on? Like, I don't know. That's how it definitely started. But I can get into it, and I do it. But then I get to a point where I'm like, okay, come here. Like, give me the real thing.
Yeah.
But I think maybe I'm too in my head about their experience, like down there. Like, are you tired? Do you feel like you're putting in too much work? Are you still having a good time? Like, I don't know how long this is going to take. I'm on my timeline. I'm in my schedule. And I can't, because they're not engaged themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's just about me. And that I think that makes me uncomfortable. So I can't fully get into it, but it does feel good.
And I think because women are so much more mental too, I think we are just not like, we are physical creatures, but I think at the end of the day, if like we see a naked guy walking by, like, yeah, sure, we can get turned on. But then I'm like, all right, well, did we have like a nice stimulating conversation? Right. Like, are you intelligent? Like, what's your thoughts on this political issue? I don't know, right? I'm going through all of these things, and if that's just like not met, then I can't even like enjoy myself. So mm-hmm. I think for you, because you're like it's so in your head, you just naturally are like not even in like a physical enjoyable zone,
a selfish sort of like. And I think, okay, I'm sorry, I'm going back to the hashtag feminism, down with the patriarchy, but it is like very, that is part of it, like that, just the sort of cultural sexual conversation, how it's posed to all of us, like men get off no matter what, men like the penetration, they like this, blah blah blah. And looking at women in porn, like, oh Jesus Christ, that's not like. And even some of these, like the original meme, I'd sent Maria this meme that I think sparked our conversation, where it was like, oh, we gotta do a podcast.
Yes.
This woman, I watched her TED talk, and she brought up a comment about in movies or anything, anytime you see the sex scene and it's like the moment the penis goes in the vagina, the woman's like, oh my god, I'm losing my mind. Oh god, I feel the penis. And it's just like
not true for most.
It's just like, yeah. And I every time, and I think that, but then it's like I've been guilty of trying to like show that, you know what I mean? It's like I want to, like, you're doing a good job, and it does feel good. And I will say that, like, I am apparently one of the minority who I've had, I think, a couple orgasms. Mostly I need other stimulation, but like with just actual, if they're hitting like a particular spot and you get a rhythm, I can come.
Interesting. Okay.
And I like it.
Yeah. And I like it. No, you absolutely hate it. So you came because it sucked.
Oh,
good
my
one.
God, I'm such a dork. But I lost my track of mind and thought.
Well, so we were talking about the performative side of things.
The performative side of things.
But yeah. I mean, so like, I guess I'll make a point to that too, because obviously, like, I did a pod on porn, and like, obviously, like, my view is, I completely support porn. I think that like, in one avenue, I think that it's a great stimulant for couples. I think it's also like just a great way to just like see something sexy, and like, I totally also like understand why a lot of people like the like amateur style porn, because it does feel a little bit more real.
More, and that's authentic. Yeah
And surprisingly, for a lot of men I've actually asked, they have had that response where they're like, it just feels like it's kind of like the at home, like relatable side of things, which I didn't think would be the answer that I would get. And I might have told you this, but I know that there's like a younger generation, and somebody please look this up, but from what I've heard is that the younger generation now who's in high school, that's below us, is basically now they're watching porn, and what's happening is because they're a little bit more inexperienced, they're taking that performative alley, and what is happening is that sex is so out, like basically porn style outrageous, that in general it's just like not achievable. Like that's not like a way that a lot of people like actually enjoy having sex, which is funny that like, for example, like missionary gets talked shit on so much, because I'm like, and that's, not
can be great.
Missionary can be really great if it's in a very like sensual space and you really love and respect the person that you're with. Exactly. And I'm like, and obviously like vary it up and all, but yeah, it all can definitely be great. Every partner is going to be totally different, but like, you know, I have actually like, you know, a bit ago, like slept with, obviously like before my current relationship, but like slept with somebody that was younger, and I think he was like 5 years younger than I was. Ooh. But the performative sex was so interesting, because I'm like, you're literally like jackhammering. You know, and it's not pleasant, but it made a little bit more sense, because I'm like, if your experience was like a little bit more minuscule, and I'm not saying this is everybody's experience, and there's obviously people that like have had multiple partners who have communicated with them, but I think this person in particular was very much like, I need to kind of like basically get it in. And that was his like primary sex life.
That was
his
goal. That was his aim, and he achieved it.
Well, no, because it was, what was really funny is that like, after we were having sex, I literally called him out on it. And I go, you're going to make me come, and I'm going to teach you how. And he laughed, and he laughed about it, but he's like, okay. Like,
Maria, because no, I have to stop you. Because look, you are, God bless you. God bless you, woman, because I have met men who have met you before they met me. And thank God for those men, and thank God for you, because this is something we talked about too, as far as communicating.
Yes.
And I mean, for me, that is so hard. The fact that you were able to say that to somebody and like show, like, God, I got to get better at it even now. I mean, I know my own body. I know how to do what I do. Mm-hmm. And I kind of know how to, it's kind of like, okay, just shut up. Let me move you here. Yeah. And if you're with a receptive partner, I can kind of like find a rhythm and do it. But I've never really, it's hard for me to like do what you were just saying.
But it's not, and the thing is I think just my
and guys natural, are receptive to it.
Yeah,
they want to know.
But my natural personality is just like very forward, I think, and I'm like, and it's just taken time to get there, and I was not always like this. I mean, there's so many times like my past relationships, and like even like sometimes even like in my current relationship, but there's certain things I'm like, I feel like, should I say this? Should I not say this? And I typically end up saying, and we end up communicating like in with most partners and whatnot. But
we're elder millennials now. You have to.
Exactly. But we do, you know, one of the points that you brought up is like, there are so many people that we know in our lives and a lot of close girlfriends that just have like never had that orgasm or never had that conversation. I've had a few close girlfriends have called me and they're like, oh my God, like he just literally basically had his and like rolled over and was done.
Ah, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah,
like I would get mad. I went through a point where once I figured out how to orgasm, and if guys would like not do what we just talked, I don't remember if we were already recording, but like they'll pause and kind of be like, no.
Yeah.
And if they just like kind of went, and you're just like, I would straight up get mad. And I'd be like, fuck that. Go get the vibrator. Like,
yeah.
I will. Like, come on. Like, this whole accepted idea that, and this is where I think we're even maybe just a generation, if that, out of this idea that, like, women don't always orgasm and it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. And it's like, is it okay? Like, when I was just kind of doing some random anecdotal research for this, and apparently it's not any harder for a woman to achieve orgasm than it is a man. Like, we are both at the same, like, when a man is stimulated, I'm doing the jack off thing right hand. And then when a woman is stimulated,
it literally almost looks like you're doing the like pat, like circle your stomach and pat your head motion, but like sideways.
I wonder if that's how it started. That's really hard to do. Should we do a TikTok about it? Look, it doesn't work.
Just teach us to orgasm.
Oh my God.
DIY version.
Okay, now I'm lost. No, but if you, when properly, correctly stimulated,
I can't look at your hands anymore.
Okay, I'll suppress my Italian instincts. I'll talk with my words.
No, keep it going. I like it.
But it's about 4 minutes if you're just like full on stimulated, like 4 to 5 minutes orgasm. So like the female orgasm isn't this elusive, sometimes it's here, sometimes it's there.
Yeah.
Like the fairies bring it. And if they didn't come in spring and there was no rainbow, like, then no orgasm. That's not actually true. So you don't need fairies to bring you an orgasm on a scented rainbow.
That's not how it works?
No.
Weird.
No, I know. Mm,
this is news to me. I'm just kidding.
That's like seventh grade sex ed, right? Isn't that what they told us?
I actually wish I remembered some of the shit that I learned in that one sex ed course that I took back God knows when.
I was trying to. I remember like the maturation, and I think it was fifth grade.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they put on like we had this big assembly, and the boys went to this room, and the girls went to this room. And I think I can't remember now how I remembered in my head is that they put on a mistaken slide, but it might have been. It might not have been, but I feel like there was some scrambling because they showed like an erection, and it was this like I don't know, 90s. Dude, little adolescent guy doing some random workout thing. Mm-hmm. And then so he's weird. Sitting there and you see like the side profile and then like his little shorts whoop and he gets like this little erection.
Oh, God.
And then it shows the clinical, you know, diagram of a penis becoming erect right next to it. And everybody was just like chaos, like, oh my God, there's a dick on the screen. Like, go get it off. And then they put on like the girls thing, but yeah, in sex ed, they never tell you about anything about, like, sexual orientation or sexual pleasure. It's basically just, like, don't have sex because you are going to get pregnant or AIDS.
Or die.
Or die. You will die
from sex. Was that Mean Girls where he's like, you'll get pregnant and die?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
that's the message.
So, question. And I don't know if you have an opinion on this. So
I'm sure I do.
I recently, so you, because you have a psych background, I'm going to ask you. So I recently learned that they're actually now starting to do sex ed a lot sooner as of kindergarten. And yep. I kind of like, so I have like a little bit of a mixed feeling towards it. I don't know, again, the psychological background to it. But I would love to know, and I know that you work with kids. And I know you talked a little bit about masturbation. I know you're pulling up, so that's something.
Yeah, just gonna sorry. Talking.
No, you're good. Talking. But I would love to know if you have like any type of like insight, any like thought process on it. Like, I don't know, just give me the tea.
Yeah, there is actually, so... And I will send you the links to these because there's studies. All of the most current research shows that sexual, not just sex ed, but sexual experience, sexual orientation, sexuality education, just sexuality in general education across the lifespan is really beneficial. And it shows the best outcomes for information, for just self-advocacy, for consent, for having healthy sexual relationships and responsible sexual behaviors rather than like abstinence or death, you know? Yeah. Let me find my little study. So teaching about forms of sexual expression, healthy sexual and non-sexual relationships, gender identity and sexual orientation, and questioning and communication around sex from starting as early as kindergarten. Hmm. And there's different curricula, and this is where I'll share the link with Maria, and she'll share it with you. Mm-hmm. I didn't do like a ton of, you know, actual clinical research into this, but I am very interested because also people with autism, which is the population that I work with primarily, a lot of people with autism don't necessarily identify with one particular gender or one particular sexual orientation, and there's Some do, but there's just a lot more nuance in it, more predominantly in the autistic community. And I just find that very fascinating with, you know, how we're wired in our brain and neurology and all of that. Mm-hmm. But it's so, so important. Like, we're learning now with representation for like trans people, gay people, all of the LGBTQ+ community and whatnot. But when you educate on things like that, like, just there were like stats. See, now I'm like, I'm gonna get too specific because I don't remember the statistics, and if I don't know the numbers, I can't say it.
That's okay. You can just keep it generalized.
It's healthier to talk about it, and people show much more responsible behavior. They show more empathy. Mm-hmm. They show more communication, and they show more healthy self-advocacy when they're educated from a very early age. And of course, like in kindergarten, you're not gonna be like, you know, like talking about penetration or the clitoris or the vulva versus the vaginal opening or what labeling, those kind of things. But you are saying vagina and penis and sex. You're not calling it like you know, the no-no zone. Foo-foo and the pee-pee and the goopy-doo-doop. Okay. Like, you know, like, I don't know. I've heard, and I work with parents and kids, and I'm like, all right, we need to, got to have a talk.
Yeah.
So just sort of, you know, taking it out of that, the no-no zone, like you just said. Like, okay. It's not a no-no. Yes, it's a private place and, you know, knowing that, but, like,
yeah,
labeling it more, I don't know words right now, but
that's okay.
Specifically.
Yeah. And I guess I was like curious too, because obviously like you have parents and I'm sure the kids are like experimenting or they're like not understanding. So obviously like either accidents are going to happen. They're going to have like erections and
it's
I don't
so
know how
funny.
Early on you have like start having erections, to be completely honest. But either way, I'm sure that that's something you've experienced.
Masturbation is very healthy. And this is something I have to like talk to parents about because they freak out, especially with special needs kids.
Yeah.
It's like, I've had clients when they start, it's like, we have to teach like where to go and, you know, have private time or have you time. You can not here on the couch with Miss Jessica.
Yes.
Like, go to the bathroom and, you know, you have to communicate, I'll be right back, or please don't disturb me. I need quiet time. I need private time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Is that something that's like, I guess like not necessarily like promoted in school, but like, I guess like not frowned upon?
What, like some special needs excusing themselves to go like jack off in the bathroom rather than in class?
Yeah, or like I guess like any kid, because I would think like any like school setting that you go to, everyone just, well, not everybody, but most curriculums or like most teachers say, you know what, like that's not appropriate.
Schools are a little like, so I work outside of the school system, thank God. I bless schools, thank you for all you do, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But I can't be that dictated.
Sure.
They're very specific. They're not super understanding.
Okay.
So that's why, like, I'll come in and teach my clients skills to kind of use functional communication to say something like, mm-hmm. I need to be alone or I need space, and not to do those things in public or community settings. But
gotcha.
Yeah, I think. I mean, for me, even just me, away from autism, it would have been helpful to get. I mean, God, my mom didn't talk to me about anything. I think, like, I had a friend in fourth grade show me a porn, and I was like, oh, my God, what is happening? Like, I don't remember learning. I don't think I learned about sex at all.
Yeah.
I never had a conversation with anybody. I remember there was, like, it was, like, 2 years before my first real French kiss, but we were going to play Spin the Bottle, and I was, like, so nervous that I wouldn't know how to French kiss that I'm trying to practice on my arm, and I'm, like, asking my friend Kayla, like, how do I do it? What do I do? And I ended up chickening out. I was way too young anyway, so thank God. But
yeah. Well, nobody like teaches you like the terminology. Nobody like, you know, I feel like our parents' generation, because they were not taught, they don't necessarily know how to teach us.
I don't think they, exactly.
Yeah.
Women were just not having orgasms thinking that's my plight in life.
No, 1000%. And I'm not saying this is inclusive for every couple. That's just, I think, just generically, even the stat that we said earlier from doctors even telling you up till the 1970s. Right. But I think just in general, I think of like my parents, and I don't know how, like, for me, I always thought it was like cultural. So I was like, my parents still to this day never really talked to me about sex. Like, it wasn't until maybe like, I think maybe the year before I moved out. So like my early/mid-20s, I had a boyfriend. So I just like one day came home and I made a joke about having sex with my parents, or like I started trolling my dad because he like said something and I was like, oh yeah, I'm sleeping with Jeff, John, and Joe, like randomly made up names. And he's just like, what? Like, it was so shocking to him, but it became the norm for us. So like it was a little bit easier for us to talk about sex. And then I think I had asked my mom about like the IUD, because I've had an IUD for now, I think, like 6 years. So I'd like asked my mom about her experience, or if she had ever been on it, because I remember her saying something along the lines of like, she had IUD, she took it out, and that's how she got pregnant with me. So that was so top of mind, but it was like such an easy way for me to have an introduction with my parents and I, or like my mom and I at least, to say like, hey, like, let's kind of open the door about sex. Like, we don't ever get into detail, but like, she knows I'm active. She knows, like, obviously, like, I have like, a relationship, and like, she's not questioning like, oh, she's waiting till marriage or something like that, right? Like, and so I think that part of me is like, do I wish I started having conversations about sex a little bit earlier and understanding like the use of condoms and what to do, or like, what if a sexual partner does this? Part of me says yes. And then another part of me is like, well, I also turned out fine. But I'm also smart and I research and I
am. And you're able willing to speak up and say, like, yes. Hey, I'm going to come. This is how to do it.
Totally. But again, right, it goes back to the conversation that we said of like us not talking about it. And I think this is where we talk about kind of the orgasm gap, right?
Yep.
So, and to bring that into context for everybody, the orgasm gap is basically the inequality within partnerships of an individual having an orgasm. So like one partner more than another.
Men, and 95% of the time will come.
And there's just like so many stats that are surrounding it. And I think one of the biggest things that it comes down to is generally like educating. And that like also brings us back to the point of people not even understanding the anatomy, right? Where it becomes like the female or the male body. And I think that like, I love the stat that you brought into that like same-sex couples typically have better luck when it comes to like orgasms too. But you've got a big smile on your face laying on me.
No, I just pulled it up what you were talking about. Okay. Because I was like, what was the percentage? Yes. So this was like the original thing. So when masturbating, 95% of women orgasm.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's even like low because how can you not? Like if you know anything about like just come on. But anyway, 95% of women orgasm when masturbating. Yeah. In first time hookups with other women, they orgasm 64% of the time. Mm-hmm. In first time hookups with men, they orgasm 7% of the time. 7%. And then she goes on, this tells us that the problem isn't women's ability to orgasm. Mm-hmm. It's our cultural scripts for heterosexual sex.
Yes.
I mean, but see, I don't know. I think that part of that is true, but it's so complex and so intertwined. Like, this is where I think that performative aspect comes in. Yeah. And also, I will say, and not to generalize, of course, never all men and all women and gender identity and all of these things, that all comes into play. But like, women are definitely cultured and kind of groomed to be pleasing to men.
Like submissive. And
or just even just when you come into sort of that bit of like sexual maturity, I think I'm sure you are one, like any woman knows has that moment where you realize like, I walked into a room and I noticed a man noticing me. Mm-hmm. And then you just have that sort of feeling like you were being looked at sexually. Mm-hmm. And everything that we're sort of shown, like in whether it's porn or a fucking Carl's Jr. commercial, like remember those old commercials?
Oh, like, and she's like, sexually,
oh, yes, the burger. Like you don't even need like,
yes,
is us as these visually stimulating. Mm-hmm. How are we in relation to men? What do we look like? Are we? Yeah. We're their candy. We're their eye candy. We're their whatever. Yeah. We're their reflection of like how good they're doing, how good a job they're doing. It's like, and again, I'm also speaking through my own personal lens always, but that was something I was always very, very in tune of like, okay, is he happy right now with me? Do I look good? Mm-hmm. And then that's just that clouded my mind. So like when I had my first orgasm, it was so liberating because I realized I knew what to do. And it's really funny because it was with a guy who was a very sweet, it was a boyfriend who I was with for a long time. And he's a great guy. But not necessarily, I don't know. He wasn't my guy. Obviously it was in my young 20s, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was able to kind of not care about him necessarily, kind of put his experience to the side and be like, you know what? I'm just going to like use this dick.
Yes.
Kind of. And but I was like so liberating. Yeah. But it was. And like, obviously, like, but I don't know even what I mean. But I was less concerned about how I was performing for him or how he was receiving me than just being in my own body and taking advantage of what that felt like.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. And I've had like multiple, I mean, for example, like the abortion episode that I had with Heather, one of the points that she brought up, I was like making fun of her for having, we love her. By the way, love you if you're listening. But so I was making fun of her for having this like velvet chair and she's like, oh yeah, I just like fucked on it. Like whenever she did. And then we like, I don't know how I was asking her about random positions or something. And she goes, like she was saying how like uncomfortable it was basically to be on top because she constantly was thinking about like does my chin look okay? Do my tits look fine? Yeah, does my lean stomach over, look my bigger? Boobs look
weird.
Yeah. And I think that that's why it's so powerful to have this movement right now of like body positivity, especially in the women's spectrum. I think because so much has been like sexualized, there has been this like ideal figure for like women that has been, you know, out to play in every single magazine, and then what women look like typically in like the most popular porns or whatever. And I think that that's kind of like breaking that boundary of like what women even feel like in the bedroom, because what we're seeing now with like this summer is like a lot of people are every single influencer showing like cellulite is normal. Even the hottest women that like are Victoria's Secret models are coming out in the sun. They're like, dude, like 99% of women have cellulite. Yeah. You, like wear that bikini. Stop like hiding your experience. And I think that I like heavily admire that, because I think that that's going to convert into like the bedroom and like what we experience like as women for having that orgasm. And I think that that's one of the biggest things as I've gotten older and how my sex life had progressively changed, was because in my early 20s, like, I didn't even want to take, or, like, when I first started having sex, I didn't want to take my t-shirt off, because I was like,
oh, my God, yep. I wanted to keep my bra on always.
Yes, like, I was like, I don't look good, or, like, I'm going to keep my underwear on and just pull it to the side. Well,
yes, oh, my God.
Yeah, but while that might be sexy, but I was like, I feel like it frames my figure better, or, like, what if my lips look weird? Like, right? Like, so there's all these little things, but people are so scared to talk about. And I remember, like, telling my mom for the first time, and she's like, I don't understand. Like, she would always tell me, she's like, I don't understand why you're not even wearing like tank tops or whatever. But I was so insecure about my body that it like converted into all of these things. Like, I didn't even start wearing like a two-piece till I was in my like later 20s.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, I think about that all the time. Like, how many like women and even men too out there that I'm sure maybe like feel insecure about their bodies, but they want to keep a shirt on, or they're not having sex because of these experiences that they're like thinking, or that they're having like outside of that, right? There's so many things I think that can go into like really like achieving this like amazing pleasurable like orgasmic moment. And for the most part, what people forget is nobody gives a fuck when they're having sex with you.
But see, like, that's the thing though. That's the thing that I think that, and just what you were saying, what came into my mind was like, and again, this goes into just the cultural norms and whatever. So, and I don't know if this was maybe you I was talking about. I don't even know if it was in the DMs about this specific thing. But maybe. Like the O face. Like, yeah. I think we talked about this, but this was on the last podcast and it wasn't as relevant. But just like men, I have talked to girlfriends about this. Yeah. The faces that these boys will make. It just like, you know, they just... They just get in. I wish you guys could see this.
Yeah, but she's so animated. It's so great.
They get into the zone. And it's a fucking beautiful thing, right? You're like getting off. You're just like, maybe your right eye's twitching and you're just like, you don't know what's happening on your face. But I think, just based on myself and my girlfriends that I have spoken to throughout my 30 something years, I will never fess to it. My goal is to forget how old I actually am.
You're still 21.
Who cares? Thank you. Yes, I am. I'm so wise. But it's so much harder for women because we're just taught that we are the showpiece. We're there to be looked at. Oh, they're getting off on us. They're looking at our tits. They're like in our vaginas. Like
stupid facial expressions are everything.
Thank you. But you know, that's like, so I, and actually now this brings up a memory. Some of the best sex I ever had to once in my years of discovering how to like orgasm had to be very, very dark. It's not that I was necessarily insecure, like to where I guess it ultimately would be insecure, but also it took the out of the equation how I looked, because it was just so dark that it didn't matter. So I could actually relax and get lost and let my face do what my face wanted to do because my body was feeling it rather than trying to control and show a certain thing. Maybe that's even more highly just me, but I know a lot of girls like feel that way too. And I know some guys do also, but like for the most part, guys will just override and their O faces are spectacular.
Yes. And I think like, again, I think just because like studies naturally are showing obviously like more women having a problem with this. And again, I just want to make it very clear that there are still definitely like men who are like insecure, who are not having their orgasm, that there are like a lot of, you know, there are a lot of like gaps when it comes down to the topic itself. You know, and like even talking to like partners and stuff, you know, like the biggest key, what I found, is communication when it comes down to everything. Even like, even when you can tell, say your partner might not tell you, that he, like, this isn't a heterosexual a relationship, if he is not you as a female, if he's not telling you he feels insecure in some way, if like you can compliment him that his like body looks great or his dick is, you know,
whatever.
I was about to say spectacular, but
your dick is spectacular.
No, but like he has like a great dick or like whatever hits you right, or you love when he does this, like that. I mean, I'm not saying stroke an ego, but think about like what you need to hear in the sense of like words of affirmation, right? Of like what makes you feel good, because I'm gonna guarantee that it probably also will make your partner feel good, and that's only gonna enhance your sex life. And like,
so true.
Every partner has such a different way of communicating that, and like obviously like respect how the other person likes to receive that communication. And like, I know we talked a little bit about this when it comes to like relationships and communication, but like, I think it can even come down to like sex, to ask your partner, like, how do they want to receive that feedback, right? Is it maybe touching them a certain way? Is it maybe like, when you kiss me here, that's going to naturally make me feel like you're really genuinely into this, or like, that's what makes me hard, you know, most or whatever that may be. But people just don't ask, and they don't know, and then they spend 4 years, 5 years, 10 years trying to figure out what their partner enjoys.
Because we're also taught that you're just, it's just supposed to like work and be that way. I have to, like what you just said.
Yeah. No, please pull it up.
I had screenshot something that was really funny.
No, I love it. I'm trying to think of like what other...
Oh, here we go.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. It was, okay, me... This would be the guy's perspective. Did you come? Her. Are you in the right headspace to receive information that could possibly hurt you? Did you come? Let's assess. Because there's... See? Like, think about that. Like, so I think also timing is very important. So
totally.
I think the times to talk about things are never when the things are happening, whether that's in a relationship, if there's like... your partner just said something that was super annoying, or they did something that like made you feel a certain way, when you're in the heat of that sort of feeling. I mean, depending on the alarm of what they did or said, maybe it needs to be addressed. But I think for the most part, you can like take a moment, and then it's better during a calmer, neutral time to kind of be like, oh, hey, babe, I just was sitting here thinking about it. And when you like grab my hair and you talk to me and we're doing, or you do this, that is sort of that, or whatever it is, I'm giving away a lot of secrets. It makes me this or that. When you sort of give that feedback at a neutral time, when there's no expectation to do it right away, or, oh God, well, we just finished having sex and I didn't do any of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so I just did my caveman standard man voice, by the way. That's how all men talk.
Oh,
but
man.
I think that that's very important. And just with other things too, like just telling somebody when you're sitting watching Netflix or something, like, God, I love when you just like text me, I hope you're having a good day.
Mm-hmm.
It's so corny, but it just makes me feel so good.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, something that like my current partner and I do all the time is like we affirm each other. Like every time we take like a weekend together, we'll always like, you know, like following day, we always like tell each other like what we loved about the trip, like why we love each other, like what that really meant. And constantly, I mean, even down to sex, I feel like I've mentioned this story before, but like I think it was like the second or third time that we had slept together, we were like on the couch and we had been cuddling, but like this is after we like maybe like 15, 20 minutes after we had slept together.
Yeah.
We had like a 3-hour long conversation about the things that we didn't like. And it was like the following day, both him and I were texting and we're like, holy shit, like that just made us feel so close to each other because it just opened the door to so many things. Like,
yeah.
And we were so able to say like, hey, I love this being done or that being done. You know what? This doesn't really work for me. I love this, or like really want to try this. Like it, but it didn't put us in an like uncomfortable headspace. Like we didn't feel pressured, like you said, right? We're not pressured to do anything. We'd already slept together,
right?
Like
you're just having the
a
vulnerable, authentic conversation.
Yeah,
that's
it's hard. It's like why a lot of people like also like go to therapy, right? They like they learn why they can and can't communicate, why they shut off when certain things come into play. And like obviously like there are so many other circumstances, you know, people who have been sexually abused, that it's a lot harder. So again, obviously taking everything with like a grain of salt and understanding your capacity, I think is extremely important. But I think that this, I guess like this communication goes into like just the everyday kind of typical standard couple that is just kind of willing to, or like wants to talk about things that they want to either explore or they want to open the door for, or they want to like have more orgasms, like have a more pleasurable sex life.
I think we're in such even a unique evolving place with relationship in general.
Yeah.
Now, like even I think starting with our generation, like millennial elder millennial present. Yes.
You're 21.
That's right. I totally forgot. I'm Gen Z. What's even happening? I should be texting you. Talk texting. But just the way that men and women relate and what we want and expect from relationship in general is very, very different. You know, like, there's not this contract, this social contract of like, okay, man, job, money, security, woman, you know, sex, penetrated, childbearing ages, blah, blah, blah. And there's this sort of, you know, that homeostasis.
Totally.
That's created a lot of problems in the dynamic of how people relate, like wanting and expecting your partner to be the be all end all. I want you to be my therapist. I want you to be my girlfriend. I want you to be my cheerleader. I want you to support me. I want you to know all the worst parts of me. I want you to turn me on. I want to be passionate always. And it's just like, that's just not possible.
No.
So having those conversations is a very, very new thing. And like, understand women being in their own bodies and being empowered to say like, hey, like, yeah, I have a, like, it's so funny. You know, by the way, I'm going to like weird loop around,
that's
but
okay.
that the vibrator was invented by a doctor to treat air quote hysteria diagnosis in women, right? Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Oh my God, girl. Okay. I'm going to send you this link. Maria will also link it for you guys. That's how, that was like a medical treatment for women. It was like men, obviously, because women were the property of their husbands or their fathers.
Yes.
And like, oh, she's hysterical. She's saying that she has no rights and she can't do anything without me. Oh, she must be mad. So they would take her to the doctor. Or like, oh my God, I'm cheating on her and I'm never home and she's just so unhappy. Doctor, help
Also
me.
A real important part of her history. We're laughing because it's just like so wild that this was actually happening.
Doctor, she keeps having opinions, please do something. Like, not kidding, this was the shit. Like, she won't be quiet. So okay, there's actual history. This is sarcastic history, but the fucking vibrator was invented by a doctor to treat hysteria. Google it. I don't have my Siri here. Last time I, hey Siri, what the fuck, and it answered me. But yeah, so women would come in and they would like, they would.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Wow.
I don't know how to respond to that. My Siri is so.
Siri doesn't want to.
You guys, I have him trained so well. So yeah, that's what like women were taken to orgasm. That's how the vibrator was invented. And now I completely lost track of how I started on this, but, women's pleasure in the dynamic of sex, like it was always the sort of medical scientific thought was like, yeah, she's Googling it, boob penetration was what, like the P and the V was what made it happen.
That's so funny. It says Joseph, let me start with this, it's from scientificamerica.com, which I'm sure there could be a better credible source, but
I'll send you all the sources.
There's a bunch from like BBC, The Guardian, the Daily Beast. You can find a bunch, but anyways, Jordan Mortimer Joseph, oh my gosh, Joseph Mortimer Granville patented an actual, oh my God,
electronic, let me read it now.
I'm drinking water and I can't talk.
A vibrator
in the early 1880s to relieve muscle aches, and doctors soon realized it might be used on other parts of the body. That innovation shortened treatment time for hysteria, fattening doctors' wallets. I couldn't read two sentences like a normal person.
Look, I'm vibing my glass of wine to you. Yeah, how weird is that?
That is pretty insane. Yeah. And then you know about the
bless that doctor.
Hey, we benefited.
I would be a hysterical woman without it, let me tell you.
Yeah, and what's that one vibrator that was built to be like a back massager that's now like one of the top vibrators? It's got like 20 modes or something crazy like
20?
That.
20? That's too much for me.
Yeah.
Three speeds and a twirling feature. That's all mama needs.
Yeah, dude, even some of, honestly, you know what I've been thinking about too is like some of those crazy vibrators are like $200 are like virtually so unnecessary. I'm not saying they're not great. I'm just saying.
Why are they so fucking expensive?
One of my favorite vibrators
is the pink tax?
Dude, one of my favorite vibrators is literally like a Holiday Bliss mini lipstick one that was a supplemental free one.
Oh, see, I like penetration with
Okay. I like that one, but I think the one I accidentally ordered to my parents' house, if anybody listened to episode 3.
Stop it. Dude. I love that. Oh my God.
Yeah, so the one I accidentally ordered to my parents' house, that one came with like a supplemental mini clip one, and the clip one is like my favorite one.
Those I like with a partner.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, in the shower. Intimidating. Oh, the shower. I never shower sex, that's something I always, I get like annoyed about shower sex because it's like it looks so sexy, but then it's like I'm kind of cold, and is this, like, if I actually need to take a shower, stay the fuck away from me. Like, I got to shave my legs. I got to do my thing. We're racking up time.
You're hilarious.
This is not my favorite. Yeah. Like, it looks hot, but, like.
Yeah. I think it's really subjective, I think, depending on, like, where you are, like, no. What you're doing, what mood you're in. Like, for me, it's more, a lot of times, it's like, say, like, if I haven't come, and it's like, let's go to the shower, and like basically we'll just like have like a hot makeout vibrator session there.
Okay, so vibrator, I'm all about. That's the thing. I never brought a toy into the shower before. It's always just been like, oh, there you go. Okay.
I have one just like hanging out there. It just chills there. So anytime my dad like comes over, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna come like paint the fence, and he's got like a key to my place. I'm just like, oh, please don't go upstairs. Like, I always forget that it's in there.
Funny, you leave it in the shower.
I leave it in the shower. That's actually small. It's like what, like a little 2-inch.
Now I feel like maybe I need to find one, and like that could really up my morning routine.
You can. I've heard you can get like good ones off Amazon, pretty cheap. I mean, it's just like depending on like what you want to support and stuff like that. And I just try it out.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
How old were you when you started masturbating?
Ooh, you know what's interesting? I was gonna ask you that earlier too.
Okay.
But
I'll tell you if you tell me.
Think that I was in the sixth grade, and you know what's interesting? I'll always remember this. I think the book was called All American Girl. And basically in the book, she masturbates. There's a piece in the book where she's masturbating, and she masturbates using her shower. And she uses like
the
shower
head. Faucet.
The faucet, yes.
Yes. That was tried it. It didn't work for me.
Really? It worked for me.
Oh my God.
And so then I was like, oh, this like feels good. Because I didn't know. I don't think I was like really like touching myself at the time. Like,
yeah, no.
I was still trying to like figure out my body, trying to understand it. Still like really insecure as a kid. And I was like, oh, I'm not like, you know, you feel like you're awkward, and so
I was awkward.
You're like, I don't want to touch myself, and like you would. I remember like even having weird conversations with like friends where I'm like, I would never kiss my husband on my wedding night. Like weird. Like,
what?
Ew. Yeah. Now I'm just like, macking with Brad everywhere, but like, so I think that was my first experience, and from there I think I was like, oh, this feels good. Like I feel amazing afterward. Like nobody has to know. Nobody's gonna walk in on me. So that became like basically my ritual.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of how I learned about like what stimulated me the best. And then from there I think I experimented with like other weird things, and not even like devices, but I'm sure like the weird fruits and shit like that.
I never tried fruits. Like I remember. When I first discovered like orgasm and masturbation, I was all about it.
Yeah.
I don't remember what propelled me even to try. You know what I actually think it was? I think I had like orgasm dreams, like just my body. And I was like, ooh. And so that created like, ooh, the tingles are happening there. And then the hands go there. And then I'm like, what do I want? What do I need? I don't know how the thought process starts, but like, oh God, I'll just say it.
Yes. What are you showing me?
Okay, nail polish.
What? That's what you chose?
The you know, it had the little for like you guys. I'm choking right now.
She's literally doing. She just did the like finger loop and then the finger in the loop, like you know when children like mimic sex. That's what she's literally showing me, and I'm like, how is this nail polish? Like, what are we working with here?
Okay. I would get, yeah, I would do that. And it was like, I, oh my God. It progressed to that because I felt like, I was like, ooh, I want something. So this is where like, why I was not fully identifying with all the research that I was reading on about like vaginal penetration, because to me that feels amazing. And I sought that out so much that I was like, look at this nail polish thing. Okay. This'll do.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
That's how I took my own virginity. But it was like always with, you know, like
something up there,
rubbing on something with it. But I do think that experimenting with your own body and knowing your own body and not being ashamed to do that with yourself is like integral, the very first component to being able to, whether or not you are as astute and like eloquent as you are or were, being able to like talk to a partner, mm-hmm. because I don't know that I strive to be that way.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
It definitely is. I've had many people say the same, but they're like, I just don't know how. Like, it's bringing the words out.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all have such personal reasons for that.
Yeah.
But I had that knowledge of my own body, so I was able to navigate the other person in a way, like, just as far, you know, without having to, like, communicate it verbally. So I've been able to, you know, get my job done.
I love it. I guess my question to you is, when you have a new partner and they're, like, not necessarily getting, like, the job done, and you don't have to talk about, I mean, you don't have to dive into, like, any type of personal experience. You can kind of keep this, like, overarching. Like, do you have, like, a go-to of, like, how you, I guess, like, try to navigate, like, this feels good to me? Say you're just not in a space where you feel comfortable to verbalize it. Like, is there anything, I guess, like, people can do that maybe don't have, like my aggressive way of saying, like, you're gonna make me come? Because again, that just doesn't work for everybody.
I don't want you to label that as aggressive, because I don't like that term. I think okay. that's just assertive, and it's self-advocating and self-loving and self-knowing.
Okay.
So I just want to tell you that, because I think that that's probably something that even maybe comes into some women's heads that stop them from doing it. Mm-hmm. And you're a strong, wonderful human, and you've just like, okay, that's, but I don't think it's aggressive.
Okay. I actually like that terminology, and I would probably tell somebody else the same thing. So yeah, I love that you called me out on it.
You know, but so, oh God. It's hard, because as Maria knows, I've told her I'm dating somebody new and he's great, and I'm not going to let him listen to this for at least 6 months if he's still around. And then if not, then whatever. But I don't know. Like, that's an ongoing question that I'm kind of asking myself. How do you communicate these things? Because for me, it's really hard. I have this, I don't know. It should just either, like, it's supposed to just fall into place, or I can't be not specific. Mm-hmm. This is like hard for me now.
It's up to you. We can just move on, or like.
Okay. What was the last part of it? How do you communicate it? Or what was your question?
What's another way to, like, I guess, communicate certain things that you
without want? Being like overly aggressive, or a different way to communicate?
Yes.
Even though you're not aggressive. So without being as assertive or as upfront, maybe there's not a better way. What I historically have done is either just, well, okay, so very historically, before I just even more pushed for my own pleasure, my own experience, I would just kind of acquiesce to the guy's style.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he sort of, like, the guy kind of directed the experience, if you will.
Okay.
And I felt, whether or not I was having, which mostly I was not, mm-hmm. like having orgasms, I felt more fulfilled or satisfied because I felt like he was.
Okay.
And how sad is that? Like, looking back on that, I'm like, if I felt like I was doing a good job if he was happy with me, not if I was fulfilled and felt good after it.
Yeah.
So then how that sort of evolved with still not wanting, so like that silly little quote I said, like, oh, did you come? And it's like, are you in the right emotional and headspace to receive feedback that might hurt, make you feel hurt or whatever it was? It's like, that's how I feel sometimes. Cause it's like, well, no, I didn't actually.
Yeah.
So I'm still at the learning curve with communicating that, but I think I'm getting better and just saying like, hey, I like this, I mean, the person that I'm with right now, I think we have a really good vibe, mm-hmm. and we're in like the beginning communication stages of things, but all of the bones are there, and very good bones.
Ayo.
I will say like that much.
I love that. And I think like one of the most more powerful statements that you had said was that, it's super important for people to experiment on themselves, right? Like really like masturbate and really find what you like, because you can't go wrong. Like, mm-hmm. there's nothing that you can feel uncomfortable with. No one is watching you. You can get as freaky and as vanilla as you want to get.
Yeah, either because, or.
Because you might find that like maybe the vanilla sex or the plain sex is what you like. but maybe like an aggressive vibrator and like gangbang porn is what you prefer. Like, you don't know. You don't know what you're into unless like, you generally just kind of like, again, like experiment.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like just go out and like find a gangbang. That's not what I meant. I just meant like some people just prefer like a more aggressive style of sex versus like a more like calm and kind of like intimate. And that's okay. But you
and
can experiment.
And sometimes it changes too.
Yeah. But and you can find like certain ways to navigate that in the bedroom. Maybe like you like again, like, right. It's like get yourself a butt plug. See if that's something you like. Like a lot of these things are like super affordable online too. Or like maybe even like going online and like.
Go together to like, what's it called? Condom Revolution or something.
Yeah. And try it out.
Just be fun. And I think the underlying, probably the most important thing is like self-knowledge, self-acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I think is kind of silly. Excuse me. But, okay, so like women just becoming familiar with like women even knowing parts of the vagina. What's the vagina? What's the vulva? What's this? What's that? What's the inner lips? What's the outer lips? Like it's all so very taboo and knowing what you look like. We're kind of taught to be sort of like, oh, hush, hush, don't look at it. Don't look at it. Don't think about it. Oh, just close your eyes. Oh my God, he's going down there. Just cross your fingers and hope it's fine. You know, like maybe bubbles will come out. I don't know. Like literally we're not given, but this is where I think the cultural conversation is very different. Like boys' locker rooms, men's restrooms.
Mm-hmm.
There's no stalls. There's no hiding. There's no secrecy. There's no, oh, hush, hush. Don't look at the boopity boop. Don't talk about it.
Zone.
What happens? What does yours look like? I don't know. What is your, what does it taste like? Does it smell? Mine doesn't smell. Does yours smell? Does it sometimes smell? I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's just like this. I remember it was so liberating the first time I had like two good girlfriends and you could actually talk about stuff like that and be like, oh my God, look at my boob. Oh my God, look at your boob. Oh, yours does that too. Or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't think girls and women are socialized in the same way where men, it's just kind of out there and like a dick is a dick is a dick. And there it is. It's just accepted. Lay it out on the table. Scratch it if it itches in public. Mm-hmm. People will understand.
Yeah.
Society has dicks where it's like if a woman has an itch or needs to adjust something, it's like die before you show anyone.
Well, it's the same thing as like the nipple argument too, right? It's like males showing their nipples, but then it's like women get shamed for like breastfeeding, which is like so natural.
Uh-huh.
But it's because the, you know.
Sexualized.
Exactly.
Men can't concentrate.
Yeah, well, you know, and I mean, and women actually get up in arms about it too. So it's kind of like interesting to just find out there's like on both spectrums too. But you know, like, and again, that's not to shame anyone for their beliefs, but it's just to say like, it's interesting. It's definitely preferential, but no, I agree with you. I think some of the best things that even came for me was like going to like a nude spa with like one of my best friends. Cause I felt like that I could get like so much more like the idea of like feeling or being naked around like a bunch of women, right? Yeah, like that to me was like so uncomfortable because I was so ashamed of my body. And then like we just went and I was like, wow, there are like women that are like, you know, they're just like a little heavier and they just like don't shave. And then, you know, all these things that like for me culturally, like because my parents had like raised me in such a different way.
But still to see it.
And I was like, oh, like this is okay. Like it made me feel so comfortable. And now it's like we're just changing. I'll be at the spin studio, whatever, like take my bra off. It's not a big deal. And change room. My friends are like in the back, like obviously not in the open, but like in, again, like an appropriate environment where
it's not at Ralph's.
Yeah. Like not like walking around like titties out of Ralph's, but like, you know, in an appropriate place. I'm like, wow, like I can feel comfortable about my body or like this is okay. And that
gets really nice.
Yeah. But that gets converted. And I think it all just like starts with you. That's like that I think is like just the bottom like common denominator.
Do you think that, so this was a question that I don't know if I can even answer because I know I will say majority of men that I have known and been with in my life want women to be pleased and have a good sexual experience.
Mm-hmm.
What is the reason for this gap? Like, is it this multifaceted sort of thing that has to do with like the cultural heterosexual norms and conversation? Is it just sexual education? Where does the responsibility or the onus lie? Because I feel like perhaps I don't know if it comes with like maybe empowering women and girls a little bit more to just have that self-acceptance and that self-love and like look at mm-hmm. It's hard for me even right now. I was gonna say look at your vagina, and I hate saying that word, but yeah. I think that's not necessarily atypical of like a dude being like, oh yeah, my penis. Like, it's just funny words, like kindergarten cop. But is it that women are not fully communicating and owning that sort of more selfish experience of like, mm-hmm. here's what gets me off and here's what I need in sex? Because I think most men I know are eager to learn. Mm-hmm. And like that, just that story that you showed, that's going to resonate with me. Just mm-hmm. like, then this is how to do it. This is what I yeah. want. Like feeling strong enough and secure enough to like communicate that to somebody. What do you think? Like what do we do?
I think it's a merriment of both. I think some of what like I found in my research was that primarily it was not really understanding the anatomy. Cause if you look at like, yeah. if it's 59% of women, or I'm sorry, 59% of men, and I believe 45% of women that just don't understand even something as simple as like, what is the difference between the vagina and the clitoris and yeah. all these other pieces of themselves, I think that is going to cause issues. Two, it's recognizing that an orgasm and sex don't just mean vaginal penetration, right? Yeah. There's so many ways that you can come, both, you know, like men and women. And I think that's a big yeah. one too. And also, I think understanding that communication is a big one, but also like separating what people see as this big performative O face. I think that that's a big one, and recognizing that that doesn't mean you've come. Like they're like both yeah. men and women come so differently, and it always doesn't showcase itself in the same way. Uh-huh. So like some women are loud, some women are more quiet, some people talk and will be more expressive in the bedroom, some won't. And I think that if you maybe one time had a partner that's like, oh fuck, I'm gonna come, and another one that's just like breathing hard, you sometimes can't differentiate like, oh, did you come, did you not? Like,
yeah,
I've had to tell partners that like I can't tell if you come, because like a lot, like there are times like that there are men also that are not expressive, that don't necessarily have an O face, and mm-hmm. I would be having sex, and like obviously it's wet down there for us. It's not like,
yeah,
I mean,
I can't differentiate.
Yeah, there's like a lot of like moisture and wetness and like whatever, like if lube's involved, like there's so much shit going on. So if
lube should be involved more.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna throw that out.
I'm gonna come back to this, but okay. But a lube talk, but you know, there are times that I'm like, and their strokes don't change when they've come. Like there's some men that have like yeah, yeah. come and they're out for the count, and there's some men that can keep going. And so when that happens, if they can keep going and they're still like partially hard,
yeah.
I cannot tell. And so I've had to tell partners that. Like, I kind of just need you to like tell me that you've like come, because I yeah. think you have, or I don't know.
I like
and
to like know too.
And sometimes too, like that's like a satisfaction too, like knowing that initial of like, fuck yeah, like this person had a great time, like you made them feel good, they yeah. felt good, like we're kind of like in a zone. Yeah. Or there are times that like, you know, for and at least in my sex life, it takes me a little bit longer to come, but there have been times where like I've come first and he's just like going, and I'm like, dude, like I'm like looking at the clock like, dude, it hurts at this
yes,
point.
Yes, when we? I come first, yeah. like I've had guys, sorry to interrupt you.
No, please
go back to it. But just like I'll and then I feel uncomfortable because I'm like, I'm like done, I'm ready for my nap and my sandwich, and you're like, he's like so happy, and I'm like, please don't drag this out any longer.
Well, and like now I feel like it's like kind of the understanding of like, okay, is this how like, you know, the male party feels in like the heterosexual relationship? But also like for women, yeah. it's hard because if you're not using lube and you're dry at a certain point, it like basically feels like sandpaper.
It's awful,
and that's like a hard thing to like just sit there and enjoy, because that then that's when you start suffering. Mm-hmm. That's when you can get UTIs. Like I've gotten UTIs that way.
How many of us have done that? You just mm-hmm. suffer through like pounding.
Yeah. And I think that this like is a great transition for talking about lube, because I think in that moment in time would probably be a good time to be like, let's get the lube or whatever, mm-hmm. which is something that I've actually never used lube, which for a sexually active as I like to be, I've never like, I mean, I've used, which I hate to say that I've done anal without lube. It's not a... Yeah, I was like, it's not for it all. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah. Okay, so it's hard because sometimes, like I, especially when I'm with like right now, it's not an issue. Yeah. It's kind of like an anti-issue. Sure. But still, I think that it's something that should just be readily available and readily there.
Yeah.
but
it can make things a lot better. You can get like different. I know that there's like a lot of like.
It feels good.
Yeah, flavor I've used it styles.
Before. Flavors. Yeah, I don't want to. I mean,
I mean, you can. I mean, some people like to. I mean, there's like flavored condoms and stuff too. So like, I mean, I don't know. Like the.
I'm probably so politically incorrect when it comes to conversation about condoms. So
that's okay.
I'll refrain.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, hey yo, I don't need one. So
yeah.
At least at this point. But anyways, I want to leave the floor to you. Is there anything else that you want to, I guess, like drop in here? Any closing thoughts, statements?
No, I think that why this was, I don't know, so interesting to me in the first place is that I think that, like I said a little bit earlier, relationship in general is evolving between men and women, and having a more open communication and the type of relationship that we're cultivating now is a little bit different. And I think that the story or the conversation hasn't really changed a lot. Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of girls that I think there's like a Sex and the City episode of like, oh, you've never looked at yourself? Like get a little mirror. And I hadn't ever.
Yeah.
And just taking that there, because I think there is still a shame aspect or a don't talk about it or, you know, it's sex is more of a guy thing. Mm-hmm. Guys want sex. Guys always want sex. That's what guys want. Guys, sex, sex, guys. Mm-hmm. And we are like a secondary thought. But sex is, I love sex, and most women do. So I think just kind of thinking about it. And if you're not having orgasms and if you're not enjoying sex, having the self-love and self-respect and the communication to sort of talk about it, talk with your friends about it, and like it's a part of life. It's really healthy. Like there's some there's stuff that I didn't even write down fully, but masturbating and sex, and it's all very, very beneficial to just health, overall health in general. Sleeping, stress reduction, like cortisol in the blood, like all of that, like on a physiological levels, it's very good for you to orgasm.
Yeah. You release so many of the like positive chemicals in your body, and it's just what your body needs. And I think like, I want to like look into all of those studies and what it does, or like what happens when people don't have an active sex life. I know that I've read it somewhere and I have to cross check it. So please take this with a grain of salt, but something along the lines of like people who had a healthier sex life tend to live
they live longer. Yeah.
Okay, so it's maybe I'm not
I've,
crazy.
I've read something like that. Okay. Yeah, I mean it helps with I get really bad cramps sometimes, menstrual cramps. Orgasms help to reduce cramping.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that that is something that's important because I know I'm a pretty loudmouth person and I consider myself like hashtag feminism.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me. So I think of like women and girls that are maybe less loud mouthy or communicative than I am. And it's like, important.
No. And that's, I think that's where like, I kind of brought up that question of like, you know, how do men and women who maybe aren't as like assertive, I guess like talk about this. And like, I think also like one of the biggest things that I've found is that if you feel like it's uncomfortable to talk in person, one of the best things you can do is also shoot a text over. Like you can, like, we all talk about like not hiding behind your phone and having those in-person conversations. But sometimes like if you got to get something off your chest, like that is better than nothing.
It can be, and it can be a good lead in to like a follow up in-person conversation.
Totally. I think once you kind of get it out there. Yeah. And if you have like a trusted like girlfriend that you're like, hey, I need to send this to my partner. Like, can you help me kind of like articulate something? Most people will like be willing to help, and obviously like be in a safe space. Like that's like the best avenue that you can take, like feeling safe and feeling protected, like before you kind of go into these like hard conversations. They're not easy and we're all learning like how to have them, and nobody has like all the right knowledge. Like, and your partner might like not know how to receive that, and that's okay. But like also communicating that too, being like, hey, I kind of need you to answer it like this, or I need a little bit more of this from you, or like you can take a day or two to think about it and then come back to me, right?
Yeah.
Like finding ways to like, again, ask your partner how they also want to communicate.
I think it would be very like communication, so much in life comes down to freaking communication. Just any relationship, friendship, familial, romantic, work, any of it, communication with yourself, understanding what the hell am I feeling, where is that really coming from, it's hard and it's nuanced and it's like, it surprises me still. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I just put that on some other person, but really I was feeling like I went, ooh, crazy.
Yeah.
But it would be very, very interesting if men kind of took more of that, because they are very there and willing to please, but they are also being like fed this diet of just like penetrative, crazy porn, and the dick goes in and it's just like, Jesus has risen. Like, I don't know. And just kind of maybe more emphasis on, but here's something else that I just random side note. Like, the same thing is portrayed with like oral sex. And I always thought there was something, like a lot of this research that I was reading from this one woman who started this whole conversation in DMs with me and you. Well, I, never mind. She wasn't talking to us. We were talking about
her. Yes.
About, you know, you see that cinematic thing, the penetration is like the ultimate moment. But like, they show that with oral sex, like American Pie, when I was coming of age, right? That was the big thing. And she was like, oh my God, I'm coming. And I was just like, I want to do it too. And like, I felt like I was supposed to show that or feel and experience that. And I just wasn't. Like, it just doesn't do it that much for me. Like, whatever. And then I would have guys like, oh, you just didn't have a guy who knew what he was doing. And I'm like, all right, cool, bro. Show me. And then I'm like, nope, that wasn't the problem.
And then I think that goes down to like, everybody just having such a different reaction to things, right? It's like some people are more performative that way and some people are vocal. Some people like dirty talk. Some people don't. Like, I mean, there are times that I've been like much more like aggressively loud in like having, in getting oral sex than I have in just like penetration. Well, both felt great. It was the, both the experiences have been different and like every position is going to be different. So like
every position, every day, whatever mood, what time, especially when you're with a long-term partner, it's like, or what kind of mode are we in right now? What's happening? Is this love making or are we fucking like,
totally. No, you know? I agree.
But like, I guess maybe just the responsibility lying equally on the man and the woman. Are you liking this? What does it for you? Oh, this is, you know, just that, having that sort of platform be more normalized maybe.
Yeah. And especially if you're already having sex, you might as well have good sex.
You might as well.
My God, life's too short for bad sex.
Amen. Can we top that? I mean,
I don't think so. I think that that is like the most beautiful note to end things on.
I think so.
We will, I will link everybody to a ton of resources.
I'll send you some, these two.
Yeah, no, for sure. Most of the stats I've definitely pulled were from like either Medical News, Forbes, again, Healthline, a bunch of like .org sites. Oh, yeah.
I just have something funny that I remember that I wanted to say. This was just, about like the, on the thing of like women don't have orgasms, only men have orgasms.
Yes.
So there was this funny thing. It's another meme. This is so corny. We love memes. Okay. It's been like 12 years now and I'm still haunted by the straight lady. This is a lesbian. By the straight lady who asked me, quote, when lesbians have sex, how do they decide when they're done? And I think that's so sad because it's like, this is from a straight woman who doesn't have orgasms and she knows that she's done because the man has come.
Yes.
So anyway... I just saw that. I opened my phone and I saw that and I just had to share it.
But that like makes it so real about like, that is like the most like rounding fact for like this gap, which is so like, insane.
How do you decide when you're done, when there's no man to come and just declare the end of sex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also sex outside of heterosexual couples. I think that that is like a whole nother podcast. But there's like so much like... so many stats and things, for example, like scissoring, that's totally not wrong.
I scissored like dudes. I had some of the best, the best sexual pleasure when I was first experimenting. Like, and you just like the rubbing outer stuff. Like, I was like, anything, actually, and I still like that a little bit, a little over the underwear rather than just like getting raw. That feels better to me.
Yeah. Dude, again,
just notes.
Time and place and things. And that's like also like a form of like foreplay too, which is really hot. Like, so.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Okay, I want to do that. I know. I was like, we'll never end this. We're going to just go off of like 17 tangents. But I'm not going to cheers you because I have water and that's bad luck. But
yeah. Well, I'm done anyway.
You are.
Should we high five? I don't know.
Let's high five.